Although he never won an Oscar, Lincoln Perry was America's first black movie star. But for that distinction, Perry paid a price. And that price had everything to do with the character he played. NPR's Roy Hurst examines the bigger-than-life story of the entertainer who called himself Steppin' Fetchit.
It was 1927 when a young Chitlin' Circuit performer named Lincoln Perry arrived in California, bent on breaking into the motion picture business. Hollywood had just begun hiring black entertainers for bit parts and for work as extras. Fox Studios was looking to cast a Negro for the silent film In Old Kentucky, and Lincoln Perry found himself in line among a slew of other black actors auditioning for the part.
And he saw these people around him and said, okay, how do I make myself stand out in this environment?
Film historian Mel Watkins.
And he simply began doing his stick. That is the laziest man in the world. He acted completely befuddled. He acted as if he didn't know where he was, and he immediately got the attention of the producers and the director of the film. He was chosen for the part on that basis. They didn't know what to make of him. They were astounded by him.
He was signed as a Fox Studio contract player. Lincoln Perry, otherwise known as Steppin' Fetchit, would become the very first African-American movie star.
Ghost! See who's at the door, Jeff.
Me, Jeff? If that's a ghost, that ain't no job for gentlemen of color. That calls for our regimental chaplain, and you know we done buried him at Shiloh.
But Steppin' Fetchit's stick, at least when viewed through a modern lens, will almost certainly make you cringe. The character of Steppin' Fetchit was almost always a shiftless, dim-witted, mumbling, bumbling fool.
Like most people now, I only thought of him as a symbol of a negative side of the African-American experience.
Mel Watkins has written a biography of America's first black movie star. It's called Steppin' Fetchit, The Life and Times of Lincoln Perry.
And when I started to do some research on him, I found out, no, this is an amazingly complex man. He was intelligent, and he was anything but what people take him to be.
Well, I, of course, remember him very well.
John Hope Franklin is perhaps black America's most celebrated historian. And at 91, he is also old enough to be considered a Steppin' Fetchit contemporary.
He was perpetuating a stereotype, that is, the lazy, ne'er-do-well, black, irresponsible person, one who, if he thought hard, he would go to sleep, and he had no capacity to cope with the modern world. And so he lived in a kind of make-do world of his own, which was not terribly responsible. Now, that's the picture that we had of Steppin' Fetchit in the 20s, 30s. That's the picture I continue to have of him.
By the mid-30s, when Steppin' Fetchit was at his peak, people like John Hope Franklin and the NAACP were putting pressure on Hollywood to rid the screen of his image. The esteemed civil rights patriarch W.E.B. Du Bois even went so far as to suggest that blacks stop doing comedy altogether. Again, Mel Watkins.
What he was saying is that in given American society, we can't afford to present a comic image because it's always going to be misinterpreted.
In other words, the likes of Steppin' Fetchit was keeping mainstream white society from viewing blacks as capable of joining the mainstream.
I think they need to relax, you know, take an enema. You know, it's comedy, man.
That's comedian Jimmy Walker. He knows something about being called a negative image. His was the breakout character in the 70s sitcom Good Times. His portrayal of J.J. Evans was criticized as being a return to minstrelsy.
And the way they make it sound is like black people are permanently harmed by Steppin' Fetchit or Jimmy Walker or whomever it may be. And I don't agree with that. With Steppin' Fetchit, I still don't feel it's a bad character. I think it's a funny character. My philosophy of comedy is someone has to take the pie.
Jimmy Walker says that for all the black middle class complaints about Steppin' Fetchit, ordinary poor and working class black Americans understood him. Mel Watkins agrees. He says the character of Steppin' Fetchit is actually a subversive trickster. He points out that Steppin' Fetchit never really got around to fetching anything.
I'm coming. Yes, I'm coming.
Come on, reach under the bed and get it for me.
Just getting ready to reach under their foot. Now.
But why do I have to tell you every morning to reach under the bed for it?
I just got a little, and more power to your elbow, Judge.
Stephen Fetchett generally pretends not to understand what people are saying to him. He goes off on a tangent. They'll ask him one question, he'll start talking about something else and wandering off. And finally, they either become exasperated or say, all right, I'll do it myself. And blacks, when he began, understood it perfectly and laughed heartily at it.
Tear my tongue out by the roots before I tear it.
Is my bath ready?
Yeah, fix that before I left.
Watkins says Stephen Fetchett laughed, too, all the way to the bank. By the mid-1930s, America's only black movie star had become a millionaire, and he let everyone know it.
He was a person who would flaunt that and shove it in your face.
Perry wore furs and $2,000 suits. He owned a fleet of expensive convertibles, which he would sometimes roll out all at the same time with chauffeurs.
He was Diddy before Diddy. I mean, this brother was paid.
That's actor Blair Underwood. He might be considered among the breed of the more respectable Sidney Poitier types in Hollywood.
Lincoln Perry is one of my heroes, and I'll tell you why. Because he was a businessman. Everybody has a certain role to play. We're all soldiers in the war. Lincoln Perry's legacy was one of the battles. I would say he won the battle because he opened the door and he was able to say that I am a commodity worth a certain amount of money. The next generation had leverage because of what he did, and we've built upon that. Mr. Poitier, after Lincoln Perry, Will, Denzel, Cuba, all of us, we stand on the shoulders of Lincoln Perry.
But by the late 1930s, Perry's star was dimming. The NAACP was gaining some influence in Hollywood and had effectively demonized him. Meantime, Perry was in a constant battle with Fox Studios.
His insistent drive was to be considered the same way they considered white actors.
That meant same billing, same money. He never won that battle. By 1940, he'd walked away from Hollywood for good. A few years later, he was broke and bitter. On top of that, he'd become persona non grata among the emerging civil rights generation, a symbol of something black America wanted to forget. Lincoln Perry fell into obscurity. Mel Watkins found him at a California nursing home 2 years before he died in 1978. Watkins says that although he was debilitated by a stroke, he was still determined to defend the character he'd created and the trail he'd blazed.
In fact, he went back to his room when I was there. He brought out this ream of articles, and he started showing me all these articles and pictures and pointing to things and trying to talk about how great he was and what an impact he had on society at that time. He wasn't defeated. Although he was bitter, he was still fighting to reconstruct that image.
Roy Hurst, NPR News.
Me and the judge sure ain't gonna get elected now.